If on a spectrum, you got a fully devoted follower of Jesus on this side and somebody of no faith at all for a lot of you, your faith would kind of fall somewhere here in the middle, this undefined area, this not fully committed kind of sort of, when I feel like it place. And last week, if you're here, we talked about the rich young ruler. We talked about how the reason why so many of us are in the middle is because there's something holding us there. We've counted the cost of following Jesus, and we decided that the cost of following Jesus was too high. But how did we end last week? We talked about when God looks down at us, he doesn't see somebody in the middle. He sees someone who's either dead in their sin or alive in Christ. And Jesus' death on the cross has saved us from death and has made us alive. And Jesus' death on the cross just screams that, hey, he is worth it. And tonight's message really builds on everywhere I've gone. In fact, the past two messages essentially have built up to where we're going tonight. In fact, when we kind of put together the series, this was the one message that really was what we came to first. This was what we wanted to get to, essentially. We knew we wanted to end here. So how are we going to get there? And I love it. It's an all skate. This is, I mean, really everything we talk about is an all skate, but this particular message challenges me big time. So leaders, tune in. I mean, as I was working through this, I mean, it's just so convicting. And so I'm really, really passionate about where we're going today and excited about where we're going today. But hey, before to kind of loosen you up a little bit, I wanted to play a little word association. Okay. So if I were to say A&M, what would you say? Whoop. Okay. That's not a word, but that counts. That's fine. That's what I was, if I would say, you know, Dallas, what would you say? First thing that comes to mind. Texas, right? Okay. What's that? Yeah, maybe. If I were to say, I don't know, Beyonce, what would you say?
Amazing.
Amazing. Okay, I'm down with that, right? If I were to say Super Bowl, what would you say?
Commercials.
Commercials, right? Commercials. Hey, yeah, football, right? Football, halftime, football, whatever you want to say, Sunday. But commercials. Super Bowl has become so much about commercials. It's actually pretty incredible, right? I mean, they've become a huge, huge deal. Whenever you think of the Super Bowl, one of the first things that come to your minds nowadays is the commercials. There are people who will watch the Super Bowl just for the commercials. In fact, you're either watching the commercial or you're either watching Super Bowl. There's a really slim chance that your team's there, especially if you live in Dallas. And, right? Maybe that'll change. Hey, it's true. I'm not hating. I'm just stating the facts. And or you got a team in the mix. You're a fan of football, or you're watching it for the commercials, right? The Super Bowl is the only time when the featured event, the featured show, gets talked during, and then whenever the commercials, everyone hushes, right? It's like, shh, guys, commercials on, right? Right? I mean, it's just like, shh, it's become secondary. More people send out tweets and Facebook posts about the commercials than they do the actual game. This year, you know, Beyonce's halftime show, the blackout, commercials, and then the football game. You know, I mean, that was kind of the order of how it all went. But this year, I thought it was a downside for commercials. I was like, oh, there's a few good ones. But my favorite commercial, one that I've dubbed my top three favorite commercials of all time, came on during last year's Super Bowl. And I wanted to show you guys this. So some of you have seen it. If not, you'll enjoy it either way. This is one of my faves. Came on last year, 2012. Check it out on the screens here in a second. Commercial, honestly, I mean, you can clap for that. That was a brilliant commercial. I don't know if I like it because I used to drive a Volkswagen or because I love Star Wars or because I teach swimming lessons to little kids and I can totally envision them walking around as Darth Vader doing stuff like that with all the dumb stuff that they say whenever I teach them swimming lessons. Like, I have a kid who truly believes he can breathe underwater. I'm like, bro, no, you can't. He'll like hide his face, blow bubbles. See? I'm like, bro, that's not breathing. You got to inhale. Try it. See what happens. Great commercial, though. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But I mean, we get those kind of commercials all the time. I mean, it's just become part of our culture. During the Super Bowl, it's all about the commercials. And the interesting thing is how much money companies will dish out to throw up a commercial during the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it's absurd. This year, $3.8 million for 30 seconds, right? That was a minute. So that was around $7.6 million to show that commercial for 1 minute. I mean, it's absurd. Companies will do whatever, but here's why they do it. Because they know people are going to be paying attention to the commercials. They know that people who don't give a lick about football are going to be not only watching, but getting real quiet and listening whenever the commercials come on. But it's interesting, too, is that these companies, as great as these Super Bowl commercials are, as great as, you know, every night after the Super Bowl, I think you have a top 10 magazines put together, top 10 commercials of the Super Bowl, all these companies that put all this money into these commercials, that isn't their best form of advertising, right? If a company, if all these people are trying to sell things like Volkswagen or whatever other commercial you're talking about, if they relied only on Super Bowl commercials, or commercials for that matter, they would go bankrupt. If that was their sole way of getting people to buy their products, they'd be in trouble. In fact, a company, as they're looking to advertise and to get people to buy stuff, commercials, right? That's not their go-to deal. Billboards, creative ads in magazines or newspaper, that isn't what's going to keep their company afloat. That isn't what's going to bring them the most profit. And above a great Super Bowl commercial, above a flashy billboard, magazines, and newspaper ads, you know what their number one form of advertising is? You. All of you. The consumers. The people who buy into a specific brand, the people that buy into a specific product, the people that commit to a specific brand or see this movie or listen to this album, all these industries, all these companies are banking that all of you will go out and tell your friends about the particular brand that you're all about, right? I mean, we can't wait to do this. We can't wait to tell people about a specific brand that we like. We can't wait to tell people about a specific product that we're buying into. We can't wait to tell people about this movie that we saw or this album that they need to go buy and listen to. We advertise so much about what it is that we love and what it is that we buy. We're constantly talking about it. In fact, these companies rely on you so much and just all these brands, you're a walking billboard, right? You are always telling your friends the things that you are buying. And some brands, all right? I mean, hey, we have our favorite brands. Apple, right? I'm a fan of Apple for sure. Nike, Adidas, Fossil, Gap. We're getting into the girls list here. Juicy, Rockin' Republic. I don't even know what that is. Sperry's, Lucky, Vera Bradley, Louis Vuitton, Kate Spade, Michael Kors, Steve Madden, Tiffany's Company, more girl stuff. OPI, whatever that is. Essie, I think it's nail polish. North Face, Patagonia, Polo, Tory Burch. I think you can just say any name and be like, oh yeah, it's a famous brand. Cars, you know, different car labels, Lexus, BMW, 4Runners, you got your Jeeps, In-N-Out, different restaurants, your sports teams, Dallas, the Aggies, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, I mean, you know, all these different things. All these different brands, we are constantly saying, hey, this is my brand. Yeah, I love this. I buy this. I buy that. I wear this. And you're telling people about it. And movies, how about artists, music artists? The music industry is huge, absolutely huge in word of mouth marketing. That's what this is called. It's word of mouth marketing. This is the most effective way that a company can advertise their brand is by you talking about it. In fact, at D-Town, right? You remember Steve Mokler came out here and played for us, right? I was talking to him before and he said, the reason why guys like me get noticed is because people like you guys and like me start talking about them. We recommend them and that's how they get seen. The movie industry, same way, right? Dude, you saw Avengers when Inception came out. I was asking everybody and their mom if they saw Inception. Go see it. Da, 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 da. Word of mouth marketing, it's so effective. And here's what's great about it from a company's standpoint is it's the cheapest form of advertisement. They don't pay you to put anything up on Facebook. They don't pay you to put anything up on a tweet. It's all free. We just do it because we love talking about this stuff. In fact, I got some more stats for you to show you how much we love talking about this stuff. First stat I want to show you. In America, every day on average, 3.3 billion brands are mentioned in 2.4 billion brand-related conversations. So in America, there are 2.4 billion conversations about brands. And in those, there's more than one brand talked about. So whatever your favorite brand is, gets talked about all the time. The typical American mentions specific brand names 60 times per week, online and offline. And then this one's crazy. In 54% of purchases in the United States, the driving force behind that purchase is word of mouth advertising. That means over 50% of the stuff that gets sold in this country isn't because of a commercial, a newspaper ad, but it's because of somebody who told them about that thing. Word of mouth. And like I said, it's the cheapest form of it. They don't pay you. They love it. It's free. And here's what's even better about it. It's reliable. You can watch a commercial, right? A Super Bowl commercial. Honestly, they don't sell stuff. It's just for fun, really. Get your name out there. But whenever you have somebody telling you about a particular brand, you have somebody telling you about an experience that you've had with a particular product, then all of a sudden there's a credibility that you have and you're willing to buy into that brand. Right? That whenever you're personally hearing from somebody instead of just what you see on a TV or what you see in a newspaper, all of a sudden it has a lot more credibility. And look, I'm right there with you. I mean, those stats, they don't totally surprise me. I'm all about my favorite brands, right? I mean, hey, all about it. I'm always trying to convince people why Apple is better than PC, okay? I'll debate it right now. Get off me, droid. You know, like Apple, iPhones, I'm with you. I mean, we're always having those discussions. I can't wait, actually, to find like a new music artist that none of my friends have found. Because I'm like, hey, dude, what are you listening to? Kesha. Like, please, Kesha. Let me tell you about something. Who's that? Yeah, gotcha. You know, like I love telling somebody about the new music out. We love doing that. We get so passionate and fired up about telling people about the things that we love to buy and listen to and watch. We're so public about it. We're so public. We are walking billboards on more levels than we could ever imagine. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. We love sharing the things that we love. We love sharing the things that we're passionate about. But why is it that when it comes to our faith, we're so quiet? Why is it that when it comes to what Jesus did for us on the cross, all of a sudden we get a lot more When it comes to the things that we learn here at Shoreline and the things we unpack here at Shoreline, we become a lot more reserved. We become a lot more private. It's not something that we talk about often. Why is that? Why is it that the most important thing we're all about telling you why iPhones is better than Androids? And look, I'm right there with you. This is something that convicts me. I'll tell you all day why Apple is better than an Android phone, but I find it difficult at times to tell somebody why the life that they're living apart from Jesus is going to lead to destruction. I'm telling them about a great experience that I've had with this product that eventually is going to be gone one day and outdated in 6 months, but I struggle to tell them why and what the Savior of the world did for them. That's the kind of good news that's important. That's the kind of good news that's never going to get old. That's the kind of good news that matters. Because we've been talking about, hey, getting out of the middle. Right? We would wrap it up this series all about the middle. And for those of you that have decided, hey, I'm going to commit to following Jesus. I'm going to commit to this thing. I want to be all in. I'm going to surrender all that I am and all that I have to following Jesus. And if that's you, you now have found yourself smack dab in the middle of the story of God. Because from the very beginning of creation, you were God's plan A to take the truth of his gospel to a fallen and broken world. From the very beginning, we were going to be God's. We weren't his plan B. We weren't his plan C. We weren't, what do I do? No. From the very beginning, we were God's vehicles empowered by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to take the truth of the gospel of Jesus to the world and to the people around us, because there are so many people here in Dallas, students and people that we see every day that know nothing about the grace of God. They know nothing about what Jesus did for them. In fact, for so many people, they're still dead in their sin and they haven't been made alive in Christ. And for most of them, they just haven't heard it. They don't know. or they're wrapped up in something else. They're committing their lives to something that is one day going to wither away. And from the very beginning, we were God's plan A to take the truth of his gospel to the world around us. So why is it that we can get fired up about a brand and be so public and outspoken about that, but we're silent oftentimes about our Savior? What is it for you? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're afraid of what people will think of you. Maybe you're afraid of being labeled. Maybe you're afraid of rejection. Maybe you're afraid of that awkward conversation when your friend says no, they don't want to go to church with you. Maybe you're ashamed. Maybe you're ashamed of being labeled a Jesus freak. For me in high school, I got labeled in the God squad. Maybe you're afraid of that. Maybe you're ashamed of what you believe and how it's going to shape and change your life. Maybe you're ashamed of what you have to say no to. Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe you don't feel like God could use you. Maybe you don't feel good enough. Maybe you look at your past and you look at where you've struggled and how you've messed up and you've decided that there's just no chance God would want to use anybody like you. Maybe you look at a particular situation and you deem it impossible. You look at a particular situation and says, there's no hope for that. There's no hope for that person. There's no hope for this friend. There's no hope for this parent. There's no hope for this sibling. What am I going to do? This is just an impossible situation, so why even worry about it? Some of you just decided that you're just not going to care. You don't think about it. It's not something that's at the forefront. This idea of being a vehicle for God to use is not something that you think about. And ultimately, all these things come down to two things: selfishness and a lack of faith. Selfishness and a lack of faith. Because here's what's true. Your relationship with your Heavenly Father and this idea of fully committing and following Jesus, yeah, that's personal, but it was never meant to stay private. It's personal, but it was never meant to stay private. Because here's the deal, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you, but he didn't die just for you. He died to save the world. He died for all of us. So who are we to allow what happens here at Shoreline to stay at Shoreline? Who are we to say, okay, we're just going to keep this a tight group and we're not going to worry about anyone outside of here. We're just going to worry about us. Or who are we to keep what happens at D-Town and not worry about the world around us? Who are we to keep the message that we have been taken from death and destined to the pit of hell and have been made alive in Christ? Who are we to keep that message to ourselves? It's selfish. And then ultimately a lack of faith. And hear this. Oftentimes, the greatest limiting factor in how God would use you is your lack of faith in the reality that God could use you. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, the greatest limiting factor in how God would use you is your lack of faith in the reality that God could use you. Your lack of faith in the reality that God wants to use you, that he can use you. And I think about it at this chair, right? Think about this chair for a minute. How many of you, when you approach your classroom, you're about to sit down and start class, right? How many of you approach a chair in this fashion? What do we got here? It's kind of like four legs, but it's more like two. It's interesting design here. I got metal alloy kind of deal. A little rusted, shouldn't affect the stability though. Flimsy. Must be made in China. Let's see here. Hey, Mom. Yeah, I told you I'd made when I told Chloe when I made it to class safely. Yeah, I sat down. It worked. Yeah. Nobody does that. Why? You've sat down in this chair enough to know that it's going to hold you up. You've sat down who knows how many different times, and you have enough faith in this chair to sit down without literally even thinking. Like how you breathe without thinking, we sit down without thinking. In fact, it's so funny how many things we trust in this world, right? I mean, I'll stand on this chair with all the confidence in the world. Literally, there is not a single thought in my mind that I could fall. None. Literally, it probably could. God could be like, oh, let me make them laugh. But this... That'd be really funny. If you want to, I'm down. I'll be ready for it. Like, hey, kidding. That was, hey, it's not going to fall. I get in an airplane. That chunk of metal flies in the air. You can't explain that. I don't care what kind of science you can get. Like, it's black magic. Like, you can't explain how that thing flies. But I get in it without thinking twice. When I get on it, yeah, some people have fear of flights, but hey, we have faith in these things. Let me ask you a silly question. What would your life look like if the amount of faith that you had in this inanimate chair equaled the amount of faith that you had in your living God? What would your life look like if the amount of faith that you had sitting down in a chair equaled the amount of faith that you had that God would want to use you in the lives of the people around you? That he could use you, that he wants to use you, that he wants you to be a part of his story. Because here's the reality, for those of us that follow Jesus, for those that are fully committed, he has put us on mission. He has put us on a mission to go and to reach people with the truth that we now know, that we have been made alive in Christ. And I want to share a story with you guys. In Mark, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, okay, if you have your Bibles there, Mark chapter 5. I love this story. I'm going to paraphrase the first half of it for you, but essentially it's about this demon-possessed man named Legion, okay, and so Jesus shows up on the scene, and he encounters this guy who has been demon-possessed, and the demons, they're talking and say, hey, my name is Legion. It's, you know, a lot of people, it's Legion can be considered a number, so it's how, like, these thousands, I'm not sure exactly the number of these demons that were possessing this guy, right? It says here in the beginning of Mark 5, it talks about how this guy, this possessed dude, would stay up all night scratching himself with stones and crying out like these demons were literally torturing him to the nth degree. And then this guy has this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus commands these evil spirits out of this guy. It's not clear how long this guy has been possessed, but it's probably been for a while. And like, they tried to chain him with stuff and they couldn't chain him, you know, his neighbors or whatever, because he was supernatural strength. I mean, this guy is possessed. And Jesus commands these spirits out of him. And it's funny, if you read the story, he actually commands them into a flock of pigs, and the flock of pigs then run off a cliff and drown themselves. I don't know. I should learn that. I'm in seminary. Why they went into pigs. But it didn't matter. He commanded these spirits out of this man. And for the first time, this man potentially wasn't possessed by these demons. He was freed from their authority over his life. And Jesus called them out and claimed this man's life because he was the Son of God and had the authority. And verse 18 is where I want to pick up. As Jesus was getting into the boat to leave, right? He just had this encounter with this guy. As he was getting into the boat to leave, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him, right? This guy was begging him. Here is this guy. I mean, he's just been freed from these chains, from this evil spirits that have been torturing his life. And yeah, if I was him, I'd be begging to go with Jesus too. Who is this guy that just saved my life? Please let me go with you. It's in straight contradiction to the rich young ruler last week who didn't even want to give up everything that he had to follow Jesus. He counted the cost too high and went away sad. This guy had an encounter with Jesus, was saved, and is begging to go with him. I don't blame him. And it says Jesus did not let him. I wonder why. I don't know. Like, he smelled bad. He's been possessed for a while. I don't know. He needs to shave, clean up. I'm not sure. I am sure, because here's what he says. Jesus did not let him, but said, go. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Here's this guy. He's had this encounter with Jesus and was saved from these evil spirits. And he wanted to go with Jesus, right? But Jesus says, no, this is not something that needs to stay here. You need to go. You need to go and tell of what the Lord has done in your life. Go tell them how you have been saved, how you have been freed from these evil spirits. Go tell how the Lord has had mercy on your soul and what it has done for you. And he did, and all the people were amazed. Here's what we get from this story. When you encounter Jesus, not only are you forever changed, but you become an agent of change. When you encounter Jesus, not only are you forever changed, but you become an agent of change. See, this guy, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he was demon-possessed. And Jesus, he had an encounter with Jesus, and then he was forever changed. And then Jesus said, hey, go. Go tell of what I have done for you. And what I mean by an agent of change, I don't mean like 007 James Bond. I mean, Jesus, that hybrid would be pretty tight. But that's not what I'm talking about. I mean an agent, a catalyst. I mean an instrument, a missionary, an agent of change. And for so many of you, right, for those that would say we are followers of Jesus, there was a point when we were dead in our sin, where we were destined for death, we were destined for the pit of hell, to be quite frank, and then we had an encounter with Jesus, and then we were forever changed. Now, I mean, you guys aren't demon-possessed, right? Some of you girls are like, this dude is, you know, but hey, we were dead in our sin, though. Dead in our sin, we had an encounter with Jesus. And regardless of your past, regardless of what your life looked like before you came to Jesus, you are forever changed. You have been made alive in Christ, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't look at your sin. He doesn't look at your mess ups. He sees what Jesus did on the cross. So now we are to go and to be an agent of change for the world around us, a catalyst, an instrument, a missionary. Because when you encounter Jesus, not only are you forever changed, leaving it at that would be selfish, but you are to be an agent of change. Because that guy, he wanted to go to Jesus. He said, hey, dude, Jesus, let me come with you. Let's just keep this in-house. Let's just keep this at Shoreline. Let's just keep this at D-Town. And Jesus is like, no. You go. I love that we had this deal. I love that I just saved you. This is incredible. I'm actually flattered that you want to come with me, but I want you to go, because this story doesn't need to stay here. What I've done in your life does not need to stay private. What happens here at Shoreline was never meant to stay at Shoreline. What Jesus has done in your life was never meant to stay private. So who is it? Who is that person in your life, those people in your life, that you could be an agent of change for? Who is it that God could use you to change, to be a part of the change that would happen? Because God is ultimately the one that saves. God is ultimately the one that reveals the truth, but he uses you. He uses people. And your story is valid. It's not just some book. Your story has meaning. People, there are people that trust you like they don't trust a commercial. There are people that trust you like they don't trust a newspaper ad. Because you've had an experience and you are committing your life. You have committed your life to Jesus. Who else? Maybe it's on your football team, your soccer team, your club, your gym class. I don't know, your cheerleading squad. Maybe it's in your family, a brother or a sister, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent, a parent. I mean, it doesn't stop. Who are those people that God has put in your lives and you know they don't know about the grace of God? They don't know about Jesus. They've never stepped foot inside of a church. Who are those people that God has put in your life? What would it look like for you to be an agent of change in their lives? What would it look like for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus? What would it look like? Maybe you start investing in somebody at school intentionally. Maybe you start building people up as opposed to tearing people down. Maybe you start loving your brother and sister, the younger ones. Maybe you start, I don't know, maybe you start inviting people to church. Maybe you stop making it about yourself and stop being selfish and worrying about what people will think about you and begin to understand that you're a part of a bigger story, one that you can't even begin to grasp, but should be humbled that you're a part of. What does it look like for you to be an agent of change? I want to leave you guys with a thought. There's this theologian, his name was Bonhoeffer. Right, I wonder how long it took him to spell his name to figure out how to do that, you know? He got made fun of a lot. They had to. But he said this. He said this. He said, a community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. Think about that for a second. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. Now, I'm not saying this is the equivalent of a Bible verse, but this is pretty good stuff. A community of Jesus, Shoreline, that seeks to hide itself, that seeks to keep what has happened between us and God a private matter, that seeks to keep what happens here at Shoreline, that seeks to keep what happens at D-Town. He's saying, hey, he ceased to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that if you leave it here, you're not a Christian anymore, but hey, if we want to talk about what it truly means to follow Jesus, it means to be a light to the world. Because that's what Jesus called us in Matthew chapter 5. He says, hey, you are the light of the world. Go and do good deeds before men in the name of my Father, that God the Father might be glorified. And in Matthew 28, he says, go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so I'm sending you out to go and make disciples of all nations, to truly follow Jesus with everything that we are. Go out and be the light of the world to a broken and fallen place. This Shoreline, can I just be frank for a second? This room should be full every single Sunday. It really should. Not because we want this room to be full, but because every person is a soul and every soul has a story. And that soul, at the end of this all, at the end of this life, they're going to be in one of two places. And they're either going to spend their lives chasing after something that's going to wither away and go away, or commit to following the Savior of the world. I should have to walk off the stage and I want David to get an email because I crushed a kid's face. Like, that's how full this place should be. Guys, I've been a part of a bunch of youth groups and seen of a bunch of youth groups. You guys have such a special thing that you have a place where you can, this is such a tool. Use this place as a tool, not only for you to grow, because you're going to be challenged, you're going to grow, but also to bring people so that they can hear the truth of God's word in a comfortable, safe, and even fun environment. What would it look like for you to be an agent of change? Because when you encounter Jesus, not only are you forever changed, but you become an agent of change. So guys, I'm going with you. Let's go. Let's go. Hold each other accountable to this. Let's go. Not in a self-righteous, Bible-thumping way, but let's go love people. Let's go serve people, and let's go be the hands and feet of Jesus to people. Willing the ultimate best for them, knowing that the ultimate best for them is Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, it is humbling within itself that you have called us to be a part of your story. That the God of the universe, and his plan for redemption for humanity, would call us imperfect human beings, fallen and broken, in that you would want to use us. Father, I pray that we would understand and begin to grasp that to truly follow Jesus, to truly be his disciple, would not only be to live in constant communion with you, but to go out and be the light of the world to a fallen and broken place. Father, I pray that Dallas would be changed because of the faiths of the people in this room, that they would go out in faith, believing and knowing that you can, will, and want to use them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.